Good morning. Today's daf in Sotos Vav. We are starting in Hamad Beis. We are at the two dots, about 10 lines from the bottom of the Yamun. So we are finishing up our first Mishnah of the Masechta, introduction to Soto. So this is already now almost a week of the Masechta and a week on working on our first Mishnah. You know, classically how it works. The first sugya tends to be a little bit longer in nature. There's a lot of things to roll out in terms of the first Mishnah and the opening Gemara. So our Masechta is no different. So this is now Daf Vav, and we're still working on the first Mishnah. The Mishnah taught us that that once you go through Kinyan Stira, Machlokas Tanaim, exactly what qualifies as a Kinyan and what qualifies as a Stira. Well, we all know what qualifies as a Kinyan and Stira, but how many Edim do you need? So Rabbi Yehoshua says two and two. Two for the Kinyan, two for the Stira. And so once you have Kinyan, once you have Stira, she secluded herself with a man. She was warned not to, she was warned. Don't be with that man, right? The warning, by the way, which we worked on yesterday, right? The warning was in our Mishnah, don't talk to that man, but we cleaned up the Mishnah. Now, the issue is not talking, obviously. The issue is that she may commit adultery with this man and her husband's jealous. So he warned her not to be with that man. So that was the effective warning done in front of two witnesses. And then on top of that, you also had Stira. She secluded herself with that man. Under those circumstances, now she's a Sota. Now, in other words, her status now has changed to a Sota, and the Chiddush of the Masechta is, despite the fact that we don't know what happened in that room together, but nevertheless, enough data points would suggest that something happened in that room, and consequently, she will now be usher to her husband. The resolution is going to be to go to the Beis HaMikdash, but meanwhile, she's a Sota. And the Mishnah then concluded by telling us is that Asura Lechol B'Truma, that she can't eat Truma. In other words, she's asked to her husband, she can't eat truma. Okay, and then, last part of the Mishnah, which is what we're going to be working on the first part of today. And that is cholesis v'lo misyabemis. And that is that, let's say now, from this, let's stop right now. In other words, with the kinoi, with the stira, they haven't yet gone to the Beis HaMikdash, she hasn't yet drunk the water, and now the husband dies. So the husband dies, so now there's a mitzvah of yibum. So that now adds an extra wrinkle. It's problematic. So what do you do? So the Yavam, says the Mishnah, cannot do the mitzvah of Yibam, yet has to do the mitzvah of Chalitza. So that, of course, demands an explanation. Why not Yibam? Why yes, Chalitza? So that's going to be the first part of today's daf. Let's get underway. The Gemara now is ascertaining. So Im Meis Choletzes. So am I. So the Gemara over here asks a very simple question. Tisyabim Name Yevume. So why not do the mitzvah of Yibum? Now, mind you, by the way, and I'm kind of foreshadowing the upcoming Gemara, it may not sound like the best idea, right? She is a bit of a homewrecker, okay? Sorry to be judgmental and to label her, but in other words, we're at the point now where there was a kinyan and there was a stira. And so just from a common sense standpoint, in other words, for the Yavim to take her in, doesn't sound like the best idea, but And I'm kind of touching on the Gemara that we're going to see momentarily, but meanwhile the Gemara's question is that there should be Yibum, meaning again was she married to her late husband? The answer of course is yes, right? As we already pointed out on day one of the Masechta, just because she's a Sota does not dissolve the marriage. Now oddly enough, awkwardly enough, it creates Isser between her and her husband, but it does not dissolve the marriage. So she was married. So once she was married and her husband died, so then there should be a Yibum requirement. That's the Gemara's question. So I'm Rav Yosef Amakra, V'yatzamei Beis V'Hach V'Hais Elisha Acher. Now, the psukim that Rav Yosef is referencing over here is in Kiseitze. And these psukim are a reference to a woman getting divorced. It's funny. It's not talking about the Sota. It's not talking about the Parsha of Yibum. In other words, the psukim are just simply what happens when a woman gets divorced. Now, to fully understand this, I'm just going to go and read the psukim inside. Ki yikach ish isha, and then, right, skip a little bit, matzah ba ervas davar. And then what happened was is that the husband found something not good about his wife. Okay. Now, I'm being a little bit vague in terms of the way we are translating the pasuk. The Gemara, at the very tail end of Gittin, has a debate, a deliberation of exactly what the Ervas Davar is that he found unseemly about his wife. But for our purposes right now here in Sota, we're going to give a streamlined shot in the Pasuk. She fooled around. She committed adultery, right? Ervas Davar. So the cause of last day for Christmas v'nasam yadav v'shilcham mibeiso. So what he does, he writes her a get and he sends her away. V'yatsa mibeiso v'hacha v'haisa lisha acher. And now what she's going to do is she's going to marry somebody else. The key word to focus in on is the word acher. She's going to marry somebody else. So the way Rav Yosef understands it, lisha acher v'lo liyavam. In other words, so once she leaves the marriage because of znus, so she's got to go to acher and not the yavam. Because remember, the yavam is what? He's a stand-in to his brother. He basically subs in for the brother. He doesn't qualify as acher. So the reason why there's no mitzvah of yibam, explains Rav Yosef, is because the yavam is not acher. He's not an outsider. He's an insider. To which the Gemara says, so Abai challenges Rav Yosef. What a fundamental answer. Meaning that the yavam doesn't qualify as acher. So wait a second, I got this great idea. And that is there should not be yibam. There should also not be chalitza as well. In other words, there should be a total hafka'a of the mitzvah of yibam. So I'm really ilu isa labal milo by a get. So ashenami te by chalitza. So Rav Yosef says in his defense, well, consider the following. Husband had not died. Husband still been alive. Simple question. Wouldn't he need to divorce her? Meaning, and the brother-in-law now stands in for his, not the brother-in-law. Well, okay. Brother-in-law from the perspective of the wife. But the brother stands in for his late brother. So if the late brother would have required to be Megarish or had he been alive, so the brother-in-law should require Chalitza as well. Okay. So Rav Yosef defends his position. So, answer number one, question. Why is the Yavam of Asota not doing the mitzvah of Yibam? So answer number one, he's not Acher. But then the follow-up over there, well, if he's not Acher, there shouldn't be Yibam at all. There shouldn't be Chalitza at all. Rav Yosef says, yeah, but I can answer for that. And he does. East Army, the Gemara gives now another version. Here we are. Now we're going to go over the same Q&A. Amr Rav Yosef, Rachmana Amar Yasa Mi Beis Vacha Vaisa Lisha Acher. The Lo Listere Levese. So in this other version of Rav Yosef, Lo Listere Levese. She's a homewrecker. Okay. I know I'm saying it strong, but it's okay. In other words, for the purposes of understanding Rav Yosef's answer, so she's a homewrecker. So now, what is the Torah's instructions? Torah's instructions are he should dismiss her. He should get rid of her because he wrecked the home. The atamatis yabem nami yavume. And now, what are we asking? We're asking now that in the event that that he would have divorced her because she's a homewrecker, and now he dies. So now we're asking the yavam to do the same thing, meaning basically take her in. Taking this homewrecker, so Amalei Abayi Ela Mi'ata La'Acher Lo Tinase De La Lister Levese. So Abayi says, okay, if the issue is she's a homewrecker, so then the Yavam shouldn't take her in. But hey, I got this great idea, and that is nobody should take her in, meaning because she's a homewrecker. So Amalei Mika Remina La Ala Bakarche. So the counter argument over here is actually pretty straightforward, pretty simple, and that is, look, if somebody else wants to option and take her in. So then, by all means, meaning the Torah is not forcing her on anybody. If somebody understands that, there's a story with this woman, and it's not a particularly good one. She was mezana; the husband divorced her, and so somebody else says, "Okay, look, I believe in rehabilitation, and she's rehabilitated." Alternatively, and a person could say, "Look, these things don't bother me." Okay, in other words, a person can opt in to a woman like that. But in this second version of Rav Yosef, I can't imagine the Torah is going to impose on somebody that he should take her into the house, i.e. the oven. Okay. Igadamri. So far, basically what we heard are two versions of Rav Yosef in terms of why is there no mitzvah of Yibam. One is a definitional answer of the oven doesn't qualify as Acher. Second is more like a common sense explanation of pasnished. In other words, the Torah would not impose upon somebody to take this woman into his house. Ikadarmi, the Gemara now, is going to be giving even another version. And this will be our third version of Rav Yosef. Ikadarmi, Amar Rav Yosef, Kosov Kra Acher, She'in Ben Zugo, Shal Rishon,
Because
Okay, now this is going to be very similar to the second approach that we just saw, but the language is just a little bit different, right? When the Torah says that she's going to go and she's going to marry Acher, Ein Ben Zugo Shavishan. In other words, somebody who clearly is not a match, a counterpart to the original husband, right? In other words, what happens is that the original husband sent her away because of her rishus, because she was Mizana, and this one took her in. So, and now, it's basically a similar line of thinking. And now, would you expect that the Torah is now going to impose this Yavam to go ahead and bring her into the house? Meaning, you need somebody who is a non-Benzugo. Basically, somebody different. So the Gemara says, okay. So let me ask you a question. So let's follow the following scenario. A man married a woman. She was Mizana. He divorced her. Okay. And now somebody else takes her in. Okay. And we're calling her now. We're labeling her. In other words, because of her rishus, so the second person opted to take her in. But in other words, it's homewrecker. Okay. And now the second man died. So can't you now continue and perpetuate the argument? Meaning, can't you now make the argument that, look, with her second husband, she wasn't Mizana, and she wasn't a sota, but can we make the argument that just like in her first marriage, where she was branded and labeled a homewrecker, and as a result of that, the yavam is not forced to go ahead and take her in. So now, as she moved to her second husband, can we basically make a very similar argument that now this homewrecker, now again, homewrecker over here, not from the second marriage, but historically from the first marriage, can we still give her that label? And as a result of that, can we not say that she's going to be exempt from the mitzvah of Yibam, even from the second husband? So the Gemara gives the answer, which probably you already thought of. And that is, I'm just rereading the question. So the Gemara says, "Gabi dahai mea b'shem tov havakaima." So the Gemara says, "No, look, right? Everyone gets a second chance, and not only second chances, third chances, fourth chances. Meaning, look, with the first marriage, she made a mistake. She made a mistake, and yes, in other words, and the first husband divorced her because of her behavior. But when the second man takes her in, so look, granted, by the way, he's." You know, it's a risky venture on his part. That part's true. However, as far as the Torah is concerned, in other words, she's given now a second chance. And seemingly the second marriage is fine. He died? Okay, fine. So he died. Meaning, but from this point going forward, we're going to assume that vis-a-vis her second husband, she has a shame tov. In other words, she was not Mizana. And so therefore, the Yavam is going to now have an opportunity to do the mitzvah of Yibam, meaning her label of homewrecker, which was true from the first husband, it does not necessarily carry over to the second husband. Okay. So far, what we have on the table is the following, a simple question, multiple answers to the question. How is it that our sota, if her husband dies, after the kinuin, after the stira, the sota, the husband dies, so now what does the Yavam do? Only Chalitza, not Yibum. Why not Yibum? That's the question. So the Gemara gave already multiple answers. Every one of the answers that we've seen so far is B'Shem Rav Yosef, but different versions and variations of how Rav Yosef is answering the question. But so far, in the course of today's daf, one answer to the question of why not the mitzvah of Yibum. Rava Amar Kavachomer. So Rava over here is going to be attacking the same problem, but what he's going to use is a standard and classic Kavachomer. This part of the Gemara of today's daf is going to be a little bit complicated. And that is that we're going to try to understand the Kavacham of Rava, why there is no mitzvah of Yibam. So Kavacham, Imnes Rabba Motolah, Basola Lo Kol Shekain. So, if this Sota is now prohibited, in other words, Bim Motolah, somebody who she originally was permitted to, i.e. her husband. So now, if the Torah gives her a status of Isser to somebody who was mutter historically, so then ba'asr la. Now let's take it from the perspective of the Yavam. From the perspective of the Yavam, she was, when married to her husband, already Asr. Eishes Ach. So now we're talking about where there was a pre-existing Isser. So now, Lo Kol Shekein. So for sure now, this Sota status should not only apply to her husband, it should apply to the Avam as well. Okay? Let me see if I can say it a little bit better and a little bit clearer. In other words, let's look at it from the perspective of the woman, the Sota. Her act of Znos. Now I say her act of Znos, meaning we're describing a Sota. So we don't know definitively, but still, with a Kinui, with a Stira, she has now a status of being Usser. Okay. That Isser now is going to go on her husband, someone who historically was Mutta to her. So if it's going to apply to her husband, someone who's historically Mutta to her, that status should also apply to her brother-in-law as well, someone who historically is already Usser to her. So what basically Rav is arguing is that if this Isser is going to be an application to somebody who is Mutta to her, for sure it should be an application to somebody who already is Usser to her. Okay. That's the argument of Rava. Now, Amalei Abayi Elamiata. So Abayi says, okay, so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to really think this through and see whether or not this Kavachomer is in fact a good Kavachomer. Let's go over the following scenario. Kohen Gadol Shekidish as Amana. So let's say Kohen Gadol is Mekadish the Amana. Okay, and over here, so many things to know, so many things to understand. I am going to give a oversimplified explanation of the Gemara over here. But basically, a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an Amana, but he does so. Now, granted, only Kiddushin, not Nisuin. There's reasons for that. I'm not going to go through it right now. But in other words, but for our purposes, just know that there's still going to be a mitzvah of Yibum. And now, Umeis. And now what happens is that the Kohen Gadol died, v'yesh lo ach Kohen Hejo. Now he's got a brother. The brother's just a regular Kohen. So, lo tisyabim. And so now the argument we should be making is no Yibum. Why? Using your Kavachal Merava. Ines Rabba Motel Abbas lo kol shekein. Because again, in other words, if she now becomes a sota, ostering her to the correct. All right, we don't have to invoke sota over here. No, if she is oster to her husband, so if the nesra ben mutala, so if she is if she becomes oster to that which is muta to her, so the asola now to her yavam. So lo kol shekein, meaning again, her yavam is an eshesach. That eshesach already now is a pre-existing iser. So now her status to her husband, who is mutter to her, for sure should extend now to her brother-in-law, who historically was usher to her. Okay, good. So the Gemara says nesra ha'asiri v'kaima. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? She becomes usher to her husband. That language, of course, is incorrect. It's not true at all. In other words, she doesn't become usser to her husband. She was always usser to her husband. Again, where the case under review is where the Kohen Gadol is marrying an Amana. The Kohen Gadol marrying an Amana. She doesn't become usser. She is usser. So it is not a parallel scenario. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. Ela Eishes Kohen Shenensa Umeis V'yesh Lo Achalal. So the Gemara says, okay. So how about this? Okay, so once again, this is a little bit complicated, but we're looking for a parallel case where Rava's Kavachomer can fit in. We could apply Rava's Kavachomer. So over here, this case under review is the following. We're talking about a woman who is married to a Kohen Hedger, married to a regular Kohen. And Rachmanus, she was violated. Now, we've gone over this numerous times throughout Chas, and that is that the Ashes Kohen, Haneneses, she's Nensa, she was violated, she's usher to her husband. Okay, it's tragic, but that's the halacha. The halacha is that her husband now can no longer be with her. He has to divorce her. There's an isser. So now, okay, so here we have a situation where because of she's an anusa, she now becomes usser to her husband. And now, let's say before the husband divorces her, he dies. And now now there's a surviving brother. Now the surviving brother under discussion is a halal, which means obviously that the brothers are sharing the same father, but they have different mothers. Okay. Now, what do we know regarding a halal? In other words, let's say the mother of the halal was a grusha. Okay. And the result now is that the surviving brother is a halal. Halal is a kohen, but with no kahuna. He is totally hollow inside. Okay. Not literally, but spiritually. He has no kedushas kahuna. And so now, can he do the mitzvah of yibum? So in theory, the answer, of course, is yes. In other words, she's an anusa. She was usher to her husband. Yeah, that's true. But in other words, but the surviving brother over here is a halal. So he's allowed to do the mitzvah of Yibum. Okay. So now the Gemara says, but now I'm going to plug in Rava's Kavachomer. Because she was an anusa, she becomes usher to her husband. So usher b'motala. So glo kol shekain. So for sure now, she should become usher to her brother-in-law as well, who historically was usher to her through the Isser V'Shesach. So now if I apply the Kavachomer, so over here the yield should be that her brother-in-law should not do the mitzvah of Yibam. So lotis yabim mimnesra b'motala. And the Gemara over here just simply articulates the Kavachomer. So imnesra b'motala b'asolah lo kol shekain. So the Gemara says, onis b'yisrael mishra shari, v'gabidahai lek yisura. So the Gemara says, okay, as much as it looks like a parallel case, it's not a parallel case. Why? Because regarding her brother-in-law, the halal, so their mamish is no isser whatsoever. Meaning a Kohen halal, status-wise, is like a perfect Yisrael. And so therefore there is no isser status whatsoever, as a result of the fact that there's no isser status whatsoever, so the Kal V'Chomer of Rava just simply doesn't apply under such a situation. Adkan, that takes us now to the end of our first sugya of the Gemara today. So, question and multiple answers. The question is, the Mishnah says that when you have a woman who's a sota via kinu and stira, and then the husband dies, so now, what is going to be with the mitzvah of Yibum? The Mishnah is very clear. There is no mitzvah of Yibum, but chalitza must be done. And so, what we're trying to do is we're trying to balance. How come there's no Yibum? How come he has to do chalitza? Okay, good. So that is the question under discussion. We gave not one, but not two, but three different versions of Rav Yosef's response to that question, right? Abai challenges, but Rav Yosef defends. And then number four is Rava, and Rava says it's based on a Kavachomer. Okay. And the Kavachomer, the Gemara challenges as well, because seemingly we could take that Kavachomer and apply to other cases as well. Okay. But meanwhile, four answers to that question. We now are continuing. We are up to the next Mishnah. Okay, so this is going to be Mishnah number two, here on Daf Vav, second Mishnah of the Masechta. Ve'elasur is Melecha b'Truma. So these are going to be a list of women who cannot eat Truma. Okay, now once you're a Sota, you're not allowed to eat Truma. We knew that already. We need to go back to the first Mishnah. So in the very first Mishnah, that's exactly what we covered. That once you're a Sota, Ayidekinu Yistira, there was a warning, there was seclusion. So now she's a Sota. And as a result of that, Asura, I'm just going back to the first Mishnah. Asura lechol b'truma. So she is not allowed to eat truma. So over here, this Mishnah could seem a little bit confusing because the Mishnah says, Elu asuras melechol b'truma. Here's a list of women who are not allowed to eat truma. So the Mishnah obviously it must mean something additional to what we already saw in the first Mishnah. Yeah, the Mishnah over here is describing women who are going to be asur to eat truma indefinitely. As we already pointed out, both in the introduction to the Masechta and when learning the first Mishnah, so it's true, Sota is Aser, but it's a temporary Iser, or it could be a temporary Iser. She'll go to the base of Mikdash, she'll drink the water, and if everything checks out, so then she's going to be Mutter to her husband again. Good. Anew. Or, in other words, she it is proven that she didn't commit adultery. Okay. And as a result of that, if she's an Ashes Kohen, she'll then go ahead and resume the eating of Truma. That's the first Mishnah. Now, what we're describing over here in our Mishnah is that because of different circumstances, five different circumstances we're about to see in our Mishnah, she will be indefinitely, permanently banned and barred from eating Truma. In other words, her Issa will continue in perpetuity. What's the examples? So let's go through the Mishnah. So, Eilas Rus Melech HaBetruma, So HaMer, Tamei Elach. So let's say example number one, scenario number one. So she went through kino, she went through stira, and then she just simply says, "Okay, I'm ready to admit, full admission. Here's what happened," and she admitted that she committed znus. So obviously, under those circumstances, we're not going to the base of mikdash, and she's not drinking the meimar and the meisota. The meisota is just there to clarify what happened. We don't need clarification. We have an admission on our part. Scenario number two: shebao edim she itameya. Additional is that witnesses came and witnesses said that she committed adultery. In other words, there was a kinu and there was a stira, and subsequent to that, two witnesses came and said that she committed adultery. So that would be a second scenario in which her status of being a sota is going to be an indefinite status. Number three, hameres eni shosa, a woman who just simply refuses to drink. What are we going to do? We're going to go to the base of Mikdash. I'm going to drink the water. I got a counter proposal. And that is, we're not going to the base of Mikdash and I'm not drinking the water. Now, basically, it's tantamount to her making an admission that she committed adultery, but regardless, the Mishnah counts this as a third scenario. And then, number four, Shebala Eino Rotzeh Lashkosa. Alternatively, the husband is not interested in having her drink the water. In other words, basically, the husband said, look, right, not interested in rehabilitating this marriage. Okay? Right?
We're willing to forgive and move forward.
He can't. I'm speaking halachically. He can't. In other words, once you have kinu and stira, she's aser. So that's not an option. So the only option is to go to the base of Mikdash. In other words, if he wants the marriage rehabilitated, he has to go to the base of Mikdash for her to drink the water. And he's basically saying, I'm not interested. No. And finally, number five, bala bala baderach. While en route to the base of Mikdash, the husband is intimate with his wife. Okay, he's not allowed to be, but he was. And under those circumstances, now the water is not going to prove anything. Okay, we'll learn this later in the Masechta. This is a point that's going to come up a couple of times throughout our Masechta. I believe this is the first time we're seeing it, but that would be another occasion where the water doesn't prove. Okay, so five different scenarios where now what happens is that this Isser, which could have been a temporary Isser, now converts and turns into a permanent Isser. And as a result of that, that's it. She's going to be barred and banned and restricted from eating Truma forever. It's funny that the Mishnah over here is pointing at Truma, looking at Truma. Because obviously the other consequences, of course, is that she's ostracized to her husband forever. That's true. And presumably another point of consideration is that she's ostracized to the Boel as well. Okay. Presumably that would be true as well. That last point is debatable, but another point of consideration. Okay. Amar of Amram Hamilsa, Amar Lan Rav Sheshes Vaner Le Einem Mimas Nisan. Okay, so Rav Amram says like this. I heard something from Rav Sheshes, and then once I heard this from Rav Sheshes, I looked at our Mishnah, and all of a sudden, like, the light bulb went off. So first, what we have to do is we have to learn the halacha of Rav Sheshes. So to sheish la'edem b'medinas yame namayim bot genosa. Okay, so first the halacha of Rav Sheshes, and this will be the remainder of today's daf. Okay, so for whatever time is remaining in today's daf, so we are going to be learning together, focusing together on a halacha of Rav Sheshes. The halacha is like this. There was stira. And now we're on our way to the base of Mikdash so she could drink the mayim. Now the mayim is going to be, it's going to be the litmus test. What happened in that room? Did she commit adultery? Did she not commit adultery? She's going to drink the water. Now we're going to learn this in today's daf. Okay, we haven't discussed it yet in the Masechta. Okay, but in other words, just simple reading of the Psukim would indicate like this. If she committed adultery while secluded in that room, she's going to drink the water and she's going to explode. Okay. If nothing happened in that room, so then she will not explode. And Adarab, she'll get a bracha. She'll be reunited with her husband. She'll have a child. A bracha will come as a result of that. Okay. That's a simple reading of the Psukim in the Torah. Okay. One of the things that's going to be confusing, you'll see it in today's daf, and we're going to see it a couple more times as well, is that results may not come immediately. Okay. In other words, she'll drink the water and there may be a delay in the results. Okay. All right. Where do you ever have that, by the way, where you're testing for something and there's a delay in the results? Never heard of such a thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So correct. So now what happens? So as you're going to see in today's daf, the delayed results is subject to a machlokus. Exactly what's going to happen. We're going to see that together in just a couple minutes from now. Okay. With all that stated, Rav Sheshes says the following. Let's say there were witnesses that she was mezana. They just aren't right now readily available. In other words, there was Kino and there was Tira, but there also happens to be witnesses who saw that she actually committed adultery. The witnesses haven't come forward yet. Rav Sheshes says that if in fact there are witnesses, the water's testing ability basically becomes null and void. The waters will not be able to test if, in fact, there are witnesses. Let's see this together inside. So to sheish la edim b'medina sayam. So there are witnesses right now, but they're overseas. It's just another. It's a way of expressing they haven't come forward yet.
If they're witnesses, what's the need for the water?
Right now, the witnesses haven't come forward.
I know, but I'm saying, like, if the witnesses show up, then there's really no need for them to drink it.
Correct, but that's an important if, though. In other words, if they show up, they're absolutely correct. What Rav Sheshis now is asserting, it's a chiddush, is that the witnesses are witnesses, but they haven't come forward. And what Rav Sheshis is arguing is that the waters now are not going to be bodek.
But the fact that we're calling the witnesses doesn't mean that somebody actually heard some kind of testimony.
No. In other words, there are witnesses. They just haven't come forward yet. That's all. It's.
But how do we know that?
Okay, fine, perfect. We don't. Perfect.
You're assuming they're witnesses.
No, we're not assuming. Meaning, his statement is that if there are witnesses who just happen not to have come forward. So what that does is that it takes out the teeth of the bedika. The water's not going to be bodek. That's all. My timer. So why should that be? So I'm across. And Rav Sheshis darshan zapasuk, right? I'm pretty sure I comment on this every time we see it. It's not often that an amora is darshaning a pasuk, meaning most of the drashas have already been covered by the Tanaim, right? In fact, the midrashim. I don't mean the Medrash Agadata. I mean the Medrash Halacha. Meaning that's the job of Midrashim, right? You have a Pasuk and you Darshan, and most of the time it's done by Tanaim. On occasion, you get a Drasha from an Amara. Today's one of those occasions. Okay, so Rav Sheshis says, Amakra, Vinistra Vihinit Ma Ve'ed Ein Ba. So she secluded herself. She defiled, but no one saw it. So Deleka Diyada Ba, meaning nobody knew about it. But if somebody knew about it, just happens to be that they haven't come forward yet. So then, under those circumstances, water is not going to prove anything. Okay. Now, Now, once we heard the chiddush of Rav Sheshis, now that's a chiddush. Okay. It's certainly very novel. And by the way, it goes without saying, it becomes now incredibly complicated. Meaning that we think we go to the base of Mikdash and we think right now, that we're going to have the ultimate test to see what exactly happened in that room. And meanwhile, one of the reasons why we may get a false negative is because there were Edom who just simply haven't come forward yet. So I admit it's now going to get more complicated, but the Gemara says, but once you hear this Chiddush of Sheshis, now what you do is you go back to our Mishnah and all of a sudden the light bulb goes off. Now, the anala einan, and now our eyes were illuminated. Because remember of the five cases of our Mishnah, where what happens now is that the iser now turns into a permanent iser. So what would be an example of that? So one of the examples of our Mishnah is witnesses came. The asu edem emas. Now when exactly do the witnesses come? So zonehi. Well, if the witnesses came before she drank. So then, we don't have to overthink this. Meaning, there was warning, there was seclusion, and a pair of witnesses. And by the way, we say a pair of witnesses. We all know together. It doesn't have to be a pair. It could simply even be just one. But still, witnesses come and say that she was Mizana. So you know what she is? She's a Zona. In other words, she's a woman who committed adultery. And as a result of that, there's nothing more to talk about. Meaning, we have left the Parsha of Sota. And we're basically just looking at a woman who committed adultery, right? And again, our Masechta is talking about a sotas safek. Witnesses come and say that she committed adultery. She's a sota vadai. That's not our Masechta. So the Gemara says, "Ela debasa deshasai." So it must be that when did the witnesses come? The witnesses came after she drank. So in other words, follow the timeline of our Mishnah. In other words, there was kinui, there was stira. They went to the base of Mikdash. She drank the water. And now, after having drunk the water now, right, next point on the timeline, witnesses came and said, okay, sorry we arrived too late, but here's the news we have to report. Here's what we saw. Here's what we're testifying about. Okay. That's what the Mishnah is describing. Okay. Now, think about it now. What is the effect of the witnesses? In other words, according to Rav Sheshet, what the witnesses now have effected is that they've taken out the bedika power of the water. So they've taken out now the bedika power of the water. Okay. So now at this point going forward, she is so she now is usher, but the usher now is going to be an usher olam. In other words, what about the water? Water is not going to tell us anything because there were edim who knew. Now, iamar bishlamein amayim botkin usher shapir. So the Gemara says now, if now we are assuming like Rav Sheshes, that because there were witnesses, so her drinking of the water while there are outstanding witnesses. Outstanding, by the way, does not here mean that they're excellent witnesses. Outstanding just simply, right? It just simply means that they're out there. So if Rav Sheshes is right, so then perfect. Then I understand the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Ela I amar namayin bot ginosa, tigla amil freya, desad de shakri nenu. However, let's say Rav Sheshes is wrong. Okay? And now let's follow the timeline over here. There was Kinu, there was Tira. She drank the water. Okay? We didn't know about any witnesses. They're there, but we didn't know about them. If Rav Sheshes is wrong, then what should be regarding the drinking of the water? Water should tell us everything. Did she commit adultery? She'll blow up. Did she not commit adultery? She's not going to blow up. Okay. Eyewitnesses come afterwards and tell us, wait, hold everything. Well, it's too late. We went through the whole process already. Okay, but we saw the adultery. Well, she drank the water. She's good. Oh. If Rav Sheshes is wrong, so then the water should now tell us the witnesses are lying. By virtue of the fact that the Mishnah tells us that we believe the witnesses, that's right. Rav Sheshes is right. Meaning, as long as there are witnesses out there, so then the water doesn't do anything. Okay. Hopefully I explained that well. Hopefully you see it well. Meaning that the Mishnah now, because the only scenario the Mishnah must be describing is when the witnesses come after the drinking of the water, and because the Mishnah says that we're listening to the witnesses, the Gemara says, light bulb, Rav Sheshes is right. As long as there are witnesses out there, the water is not going to prove anything. Now, Amalei Rav Yosef lo la meim lecha mayim bot kenosa v'ha emer zuchus tolala. So now here's where today's daf gets a little bit complicated. And that is, what about the delayed effect? Meaning, zuchus tolala. Sometimes what happens is that she has zuchuyos. Right? Nobody's bad, nobody's good. Everyone's a blend of bad and good. And over here, I understand she made a really bad mistake regarding her marriage. And she committed adultery. But she also has zuchuyos. And as a result of that, what happens is, and we're going to discuss this over the course of our Masechta, and that the Zechuyos now are going to be Tola. It could very well be that she drank the water, and it could very well be that the water is in fact Bodek. It's just that we're not going to get immediate results. Okay, so this is Rav Yosef's counter-argument to Rav Sheshes. So now, so the Gemara now assumes that Rav Sheshes and Rav Yosef are arguing. Are we going to get immediate results from the test? Are we not going to get immediate results from the test? Rav Sheshet says yes, and Rav Yosef says no. Now, so that we understand this well. In other words, it is possible that we're not going to get immediate results. But there's an idea of what's called Nisnavna de Rebbe, Rebbe's deterioration. And when I say Rebbe's deterioration, I don't mean Rebbe himself. I mean Rebbe's position is that a sota woman is going to start deteriorating immediately. Even on a delayed result, you're going to start to see something effective immediately. This is what's called nisnavna. Now, it's called nisnavna the Rebbe because it happens to be Rebbe's of this position. So the Gemara says, did non Rebbe omer zechus tola b'mayim amarim. So, ve'ena yoledes, ve'ena meshabachas, ela misnavna v'oleches, l'sof shi yimei sebosa misa. So Rebbe tells us that, look, Zechus is going to be Tola, but at the same time, however, Nisnabna. But deterioration will occur immediately. And she'll eventually die because of the water. But in other words, but what could end up happening is that the death may not come instantaneously. It may take some time. But in other words, but you'll start to see results immediately her deterioration will start immediately. Now, Rav Sheshes, Avra Ben LeRabbi, Ben LeRabban, Nahavi Mesnavna. Now, what Rav Sheshes will tell you is that Rebbe and the Chachamim, meaning Rebbe obviously argues with somebody. So let's call that somebody a Chachamim. So Rebbe and the Chachamim both agree that there's going to be deterioration. It's just now going to be a question of whether or not it occurs, its effects occur immediately. According to Rav Sheshes, they both agree that it occurs immediately. There's going to be subtle differences between Rebbe and the Chachamim. Oddly enough, I'm not going to go over it right now. But there are going to be subtle differences. But Rav Sheshes is of the position that Bein le Rebbe, Bein le Chachamim will start to see the effects immediately. Ah, okay, so if now the Maim is going to be Bodek, according to Rav Sheshes, we'll see its effects immediately. We're sometimes going to get a delay. The delay is only on the death, not on the effects. You'll see the effects immediately. That is according to Rav Sheshes. Now, if that's true, now we can go back and we could see it in our Mishnah. Meaning, what happened in our Mishnah? What happened in the Mishnah is that Kinu Istira, she drank. Then witnesses came, meaning that there were witnesses out there in the world. Then witnesses came. So Rav Sheshes says, what do you see from our Mishnah? Because there were witnesses out there in the world, therefore the Maim is not going to be Bodek. Good. If in fact she committed adultery, what would have happened? We would have seen the effects immediately. So why didn't we see the effects? Because there were witnesses out there. Okay. All that is according to Rav Sheshes. And meanwhile, the Gemara says, and according to Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef Savra, LeRabbi Havi Misnavna, LeRabbanan, Lo Havi Misnavna. And what Rav Yosef will tell you is that no. Meaning, I know Rebbe is of the position that you'll see the effects immediately, but the Chachamim disagree. And according to the Chachamim, she'll drink the water and she may have committed adultery. And there may just be simply be a delay in the results of the drinking of the water. And so therefore, according to the Chachamim, just because nothing happened doesn't mean she didn't commit adultery. I know this part of today's daf is a little bit confusing. But in other words, according to the Chachamim, it's possible that she committed adultery, she drank the water, and we don't see anything immediately. No effects immediately. And so therefore, now if that's true, so now our Mishnah is certainly not going to be a proof for Rav Sheshes. Okay. Okay, so where are we right now? So again, let's just reset and then finish up today's daf. So we have a Chiddush of Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says that if there are witnesses out there in the world, anywhere out there in the world, who knows that she committed adultery? So Rav Sheshes says under those circumstances, Maim is not going to be Bodek. The water is not going to test her. She'll drink the water, but it simply won't be able to test what happened in that room. The witnesses are going to go ahead and take out the entire effect of the water. Okay. We don't know about the witnesses' existence. Okay, that's a problem, admittedly. But in other words, but that's the Chiddush of Sheshes. But once you see the Chiddush of Sheshes and you go back to our Mishnah, we get to see it in our Mishnah. And debatable as to whether or not that's true or not true. And Rav Sheshes and Rav Yosef just debated that point. Meisav Rav Shimon Bar Ashi, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ein Tzchus Tola B'mayim Amarim, V'imata Omer Tzchus Tola B'mayim Amarim, Mat Chata Samayim B'bnei Kol Anoshim HaShosos, V'ata Mosa Shemra Alataru Sheshosu, V'hein Omerim, Temeos Ayu Elo Shetola Em Tzchus. Okay. We're going to hear this opinion of Rav Shimon a couple of times in our Masechta. Rav Shimon says, this is nonsense. The idea that there'll be any delay in the results of the Mayim Hamarim, right? Rav Shimon says, I just simply will not accept it. It's an untenable position because consider, how could it possibly be that a woman drinks and now, oh, wait a second, she has a chuyos and a delay in the results and everyone's looking, right? Everyone's there in the Beis Hamikdash, everyone's looking. She's good. She's good. And meanwhile, she committed adultery. Rav Shimon says, I can't be. It's such an untenable position. So in fact, what it's going to do is just embolden people. Meaning, look, we know she committed adultery. And meanwhile, she went to the basement, she drank the water, she's fine. It's only going to embolden people. Rav Shimon says it's just an intolerable position. Okay. So Elo Shetalem Zchus, V'im Isa. So yesh la'edim b'medina sayam nami v'ata mosi shemer al ataru sheshasu v'hein omrim tamei osayu elo sheyesh la'edim b'medina sayam. And the Gemara says, well, if this is the argument of Rav Shimon, so let's consider the following. Okay, once again, what happened? We're in the base of Mikdash. She drinks the water. Nothing happens. So again, the skeptics out there can say, and will say, she committed adultery. The water didn't do anything. Yeah, you know why the water didn't do anything? Because there are witnesses out there in the world. And once there are witnesses out there in the world, the water doesn't do anything. So in other words, according to Rabbi Shimon, there can be no confounding variable. Zero. This test has to be so absolute. Either she committed adultery, she will blow up immediately. She did not commit adultery, that's it. She's good. She's going to walk away. In other words, if there is at all a confounding variable, Rabbi Shimon finds that to be absolutely intolerable. Parenthetically, by the way, I think I'll speak for myself. I totally understand Rabbi Shimon. Meaning that once you deal with confounding variables, so it's the most frustrating thing in the world. Meaning the Torah says, here we are in the base of Mikdash. Okay, this will prove it. And meanwhile, confounding variables. That's crazy. But and that's exactly Rabbi Shimon's point. And now the Gemara says is that according to you, Rav Sheish, it's Mazel Tov. You just introduced another confounding variable. And that, you know what? Maybe she did in fact commit adultery, but witnesses are out there in the world and therefore the mime is not going to be bodek. That's crazy. So the Gemara says, okay, so
So the Gemara says,
Rabbi Shimon Kamar, Rabbi Shimon, Midzchus Lotalia, Edim Nami Lotalu. So what Rav Sheish will tell you is that, look, in other words, if once you subscribe to Rav Shimon's viewpoint, you're right. He's not going to accept my position. You're absolutely right. In other words, he will not accept any confounding variables whatsoever. But obviously, I'm not speaking within the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. I'm speaking to all the other Tanaim who argue with Rabbi Shimon. So in other words, you're right. Ben, you're right. Rav Sheish is not in line together with Rabbi Shimon, but there is a host of other Tanaim.
They're not listed in terms of
argument. Yeah. Okay.
He came with this kiddush that, based on the pasuk, that he's coming in with this concept.
Right.
But there's no time to back him up. Meanwhile,
no. The Gemara says no. If you hold like Rabbi, for sure. If you hold like Rabbi, then Rav Sheish's position is supportable, and Rav Sheish would argue that even if you hold like the Chachamim, where there could be a delay in the effect. It's still possible that you could support Rav Sheishis, but you're right. In other words, from Rav Shimon's standpoint, Rav Sheishis will have nothing to do with Rabbi Shimon. Now, I didn't lie, but in other words, but I said, you know, that was a complicated part of today's daf. Here comes one more complicated part of today's daf. There's just one more hill to go over. And that is going to be the burning of the mincha. Okay. Again, just basic knowledge that we all need to know. And that is that the mincha of the sota is most unusual. It's highly unusual. It's made up of barley. It's not made up of wheat, right? What carbon comes from barley? Actually, there are two carbonates, only two carbonates that come from barley. One of them is the mincha of the sota. The other one is the carbon omer, which is brought on the second day of Pesach. And that's it. And those are the only two carbonates that come, the only two menachos that come from barley. Anyway, and we all know the basic rule. The basic rule is that you're makdish the barley, but that's kedushas peh. Then when does it receive kedushas haguf? Once it's put into the kli. Then and only then does it receive kedushas haguf, and then it becomes unredeemable. So once it goes into the kli, and now it's received kedushas haguf, that's it. Now you're going to be offering it. Well, for whatever reason now, let's say you're not going to be offering it after it went into the kli. So now what you have to do is you have to dispose of it. Meaning you can't be poda, you can't redeem it. Once a carbon is invested with kedushas haguf, it becomes non-redeemable. Okay, I did all that really quickly. If you are fluent in kachim, you totally understood that. Otherwise, that was way too much information and too little time. Anyway, so here we are. Elisha menachos nisrafo. So here is the mincha that's going to get burned. Ha omer is tameyani v'shabal lo edim shi tameyadasu edim emas. So let's say, for example, after the mincha was put into the kli, now she comes clean. Now she says, okay, I did it. Alternatively, witnesses come. Now, when did the witness come? Before Akdasha, before the mincha was put into the Kli Sharvis tape book, Lechulin. So I don't understand. Before it goes into the Kli Sharvis, it only has Kedushas Damim. It doesn't have Kedushas Aguf. I could redeem it. So it must be that it was after was put into the Kli Sharis. Once it's put into the Kli Sharis, that's it. It has Kedusha Seguf. Once invested with the Kedusha Seguf, you can't be poded. Okay. So, Iyamart Bishlama Mayim Bot Kenosa. So now, this is going to serve a kasha on Rav Sheshes. Now, if in fact it's true that the Mayim is going to be Bodek, Ama, Bas, Mikdash, Umakrivi, V'chein Kadosh Meikara, that means that we're discussing a woman with eligibility. She has the opportunity to bring the carbon. And so, Shaper Kadosh, and therefore it's invested with Kedusha, Mishum Hachi, Minchas and Nisrefes, and that's why the Minchas to be burnt. But if you, Rav Sheshes, are right, Einamayim Botkin Mosa, so that in other words, with witnesses out there, only to come, in this 11th hour, with witnesses out there, so then Tigla Milsa, Lemafred, Dechi Kadosh Meikara, Betalos Kadosh, Betepuk Lechulin. So then, according to you, Rav Sheshes, the Mayim's not going to be Bodek. And so now what we could say is as follows. It was a mistake. Meaning, well, a mistake. We didn't know. But in other words, that carbon omer, the mincha of the sota, it was put into Kli Sharis. But under false premises. I was going to say she wasn't a sota. She was. But in other words, she was a sota vada. She's not a sota safek. In other words, she had no business being in the base of Mikdash. There shouldn't have been a mincha. There shouldn't have been any of this. And meanwhile, because we just simply didn't know, we took the mincha, we put it into the Kli Sharis, and we invested in Kedusha. But no, we didn't. In other words, all this is done under misinformation. It's what's called Hektesh Betos. Hektesh Betos is simply not Hektesh. So Am Rav Yehuda Midiskarta Kegon, Shezin Saba Azara, Dechikash Mikar Shaper Kadosh. So the Gemara is going to give really, imaginative answers in terms of, you know what? It's possible. It's possible that the mincha is, in fact, a valid mincha. Why, how? Meaning maybe she was a sota safek going up to the point of the mincha. And then what happens is that she committed adultery. When? While in the base of Mikdash. You talk about scandalous. You talk about, wow. So the Gemara says, when exactly did that happen? So Maskel Ram Misharsha Vala Pirchikuna Malavnosa. So the Gemara says, yeah, doesn't she have escorts? So the Gemara says, yeah, she's into Mipirka Kahuna Atzman. Okay, the Gemara says, look, the Pirche Kahuna, the young Kohanim, right? They're human and they have a Yetzahara. And it could be that she was Mizana in the Beis HaMikdash with the Pirche Kahuna. Okay, the Gemara says, alternatively, Rav Ashi Amar Kagon Shinitzrachal in the Kaveh Adatu Pirche Kahuna Bekipa Talila. Alternatively, she excused herself to go to the bathroom. And meanwhile, while going to the bathroom, she did more than just simply go to the bathroom. And the Kohanim are not going to go into the bathroom with her, right? That's not appropriate, right? The Gemara's expression over here, what is she doing? She's wearing the Kohanim on her head like a hat. Okay, it's basically, in other words, there's no way that you can have 24-hour supervision on her, and it's possible that she was Mezana while in the base of Mikdash. Okay, it is absolutely creative. It's imaginative. It's definitely scandalous. But basically, the Gemara is just trying to come up with an ukimta in order to defend Rav Sheshes. Rav Papa Amar Lolem Kedamin Amikara. Rav Papa says, no, let's go back. So the Gemara says, Midrabban Exer Shema Yomru Motzim Mikli Shar Sechol. So the Gemara says, no. Maybe Rav Sheshes is right. Let's defend Rav Sheshes, absolutely. In other words, if they're Eidim at Medina Sayam, the Mayim's not going to be Bodin. What happened now is that we took our mincha, we put into a Kli Sharis. But meanwhile, what comes out now is that none of this was needed. She's not a sota safek. She's a sota vadai. None of this was needed. And the truth of the matter is, I could just simply pull the barley right out of the Kli Sharis and we're good. In other words, it was Hektish Batos. The problem, of course, is the optics. It's the optics. Meaning, again, you're looking at it from the perspective of all the people there in the Beis HaMikdash who are observing. Right? There's a crowd that's there. This is an exciting day in the Beis HaMikdash. Exciting, by the way, not good, but it's exciting. And so there's a crowd over there. And what is everybody seeing? Everybody's seeing that the mincha went into the Kli Sharis and boop, we just took it right out. And we redeemed it. And so optically it looks terrible. So therefore what we're going to do is that we're going to treat it like a mincha that received Kedusha Saguf. Even though the truth of the matter is it did not receive Kedusha Saguf. Right? The masses. Do they know this halacha Rav Sheshes? There were Eidim of Medina Sayam. Therefore, It makes the mayim ineffective. The testing ability of the mayim is ineffective. The masses don't understand all this, right? We're here in the Daf Yomi. We barely understand this. So the masses are not going to understand this, and they're going to see a mincha go into the Kli Sharis. So you know what? Once it goes into the Kli Sharis, so we are, just for optics, right? Mars Ein, if you appreciate the term, in terms of why it is that we're going to treat the mincha as if it has kedusha zaguf. Okay, so let's just quickly run through one more give and take. Mesav Rav Mari nit mes mincha shlo kisha bekli ari kachol amenachos. Let's say her mincha becomes tame before kedusha bekli, before it was put into kli sharis. So now so it's like any other mincha v'tipada, meaning before it went into the kli sharis. It only has kedushas damim. It doesn't have kedushas zaguf. You can redeem it. Misha kisha bekli harei kochol amenachos v'tisareif. However, if after it goes into the kli sharis, now it becomes tamei. So now it had kedushas zaguf. You have to dispose of it. Kiddush hakametz v'lo hispik lahakriva ad shemesu. So the let's say the comets were, you were mekadosh hakametz. Okay, we all know the kohen then takes his hand, puts it into the mincha. And takes out a fistful, right? Minus the thumb, minus the pinky, right? Cupping his fingers against his palm. And that is what's called the kometz. And then what you do is you take the kometz and you put it into another kli sharis. That is what's called being mekadesh the kometz. V'loi spik lakri v'achamesu. And now what happens was, is that you didn't have a chance to offer the kometz and the husband died. Oh, achamesu, he or she died. Hareika cholam anachos v'tisarif. But again, because the kometz went into a kli sharis, now it's invested with kedusha saguf. And therefore, it has to be disposed of. Karva comments below is Beklechol Shirayim. But let's say the comments was offered, and you didn't have a chance yet to eat the Shirayim. Achemesu, Achemesahi. He died, she died. Sorry, Kacholam Menachos, Vete Achel Shalasafik Bas Mitchilasa. Yeah, but you know, but at this point in time, you did what you were supposed to do with the Mincha. The comments was offered correctly. Now before the Kohanim were able to eat the Shirayim. So either he or she died, doesn't matter. In other words, kometz was the mincha was offered correctly. Kohanim now can sit and enjoy their mincha. Kipra sfeika v'halchala. Baula edim shi'itameya minchasa nisrefes. So let's say witnesses come and say that she in fact committed adultery. So now what do we do with her mincha? Her mincha is going to be disposed of. In other words, it's going to be burnt. Nimsu edeha zomimin, so minchas achulim. But let's say the edim who comes were proven to be edim zomimim. So then, what's going to happen to our mincha is that the mincha is going to be chulin. Okay. So now, when we say edim over here, we're talking about the edei stira. The edei stira were discovered to be edim zomimim. So even though the mincha was already in the kli, you should simply take it out and you're po dead. And the Gemara asks, and we're going to just go through this Q&A over here. So, Eidim Zomimim Kamart? I'm sorry, the Gemara here is giving the answer. Question over here is really simple. And that is that we're worried about optics. The Mincha goes into the Kli Sharis. Turns out it was Betos. It was a mistake. It shouldn't have gone to the Kli Sharis, but it was a mistake. But because we're worried about the optics, so therefore, what we're going to do is we're going to treat it like a regular Mincha, in that we're going to dispose of it properly. And meanwhile, over here, right, the last thing that we learned in the Braisa is that when the Edom are discovered to be Edom Zomimim, okay, witnesses who said that she secluded, turns out that they made up the whole story. A second set of witnesses said that they were with us at the time. Imanu Ayusim Bamakom Ploni. These witnesses are not telling the truth. We know, we believe the second set of witnesses over the first set of witnesses. So that means that there was no steer or there was no seclusion. Okay? All this was unnecessary, but we didn't know that. So now what we're going to do is that all this was discovered after the mincha went into the kli. So what we're going to do is we're going to take the mincha and just simply remove it from the kli. And we'll be poda it. Because it only had kedushas damim, it didn't have kedushas aguf. It was hektish batos. Okay. Why? Meaning, aren't you worried about optics? Meaning, previously you were worried about optics. Why are over here you're not worried about optics? So the Gemara's answer is, Eidim zomimim kamar, Eidim zomimim kala islahu. So the Gemara says, no, come on, that's Eidim zomimim. Meaning, when you have a case of Eidim Zomimim, so you had your first set of witnesses, you had your second set of witnesses, Everybody knows. Everybody knows that they're Edim Zomimim. Everybody knows that there was that there really was no seclusion. In other words, this is a Davar Yadua. I only need to worry about optics when people don't know. So then I have to worry about optics. But if everybody knows, I don't have to worry about optics. Okay. We only have but a little bit more to go before we finish to the next Mishnah, but we're going to pause over here. Right? We went long today. Yeah, we did. Okay, so the we'll pick it up tomorrow. Anyway, the let's quickly recap. Let's review. Okay, the first part of today's daf is that when you have a sota and the before we go to the Beis HaMikdash, there was kinu, there was stira, but before we got to the Beis HaMikdash, her husband died. What do we do vis-a-vis the mitzvah of yibum with the surviving brother? He does chalitza, he does not do yibum. Good. That already is. That's what we learned in the first Mishnah. That's a conclusion. The discussion of today's daf is why. Why is there no mitzvah yibum? Meaning she was married to her to your brother. In other words, the sota did not dissolve the marriage. So why not do the mitzvah yibum? Okay, that's the Gemara's question. The Gemara gave four different answers, but three versions of Rav Yosef and one version of Rava. Rava based it on a Kal Vachomer. The Gemara really pushed back on Rava's Kal Vachomer. And Rav Yosef gave three different versions. The Gemara gave three versions of Rav Yosef's answer. Ranging between, it's a drush on the Pasuk too. You can't expect and insist that the Yavam bring her into his home. Meaning the Torah wouldn't impose it on somebody. It's almost like Darachah, Darachah Noam. Like, in other words, the Torah wouldn't ask anyone to do that. Okay. Not exactly the wording of the Gemara, but the basic intent in terms of Rav Yosef. Okay, and then second Mishnah of the Masechta. On Vav Amud Aleph, we cover the second Mishnah of the Masechta. When does the Isser turn from a Isser, a temporary Isser, an Isser Arai? And again, temporary Isser because it's possible that the Isser will be undone by going to the Beis HaMikdash and drinking the water. But at what point in time now is this no longer going to be an option? When does the Isser convert into an Isser Olam? So the Mishnah gave us five different scenarios when it turns into an Isser Olam. Good, go back to the Mishnah, review the five cases of the Mishnah. Basically, all five cases revolve around the idea that she cannot drink the water. Drinking the water no longer serves as an option, and as a result of that, her status as a Sota is in perpetuity. Obviously, the only solution, of course, is that he's going to divorce her. Okay, and finally, the rest of today's daf, which started immediately at the Gemara in Vav Amud Aleph, and carry us all the way to the end of today's daf, is the Chiddush of Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says we're going to now have a new confounding variable vis-a-vis the testing powers of the water. What's a confounding variable? It's going to be witnesses, right? Witnesses saw the act. They haven't come forward yet. Okay. If that were in fact the case, the water, the mayim, is not going to be bodek. Okay, that's the confounding variable of Rav Sheshes. However, now that's complicated, obviously, because now we're in the Beis HaMikdash, you're drinking the water, right? Nothing's happening. And Rav Sheshes says Rav Sheshes introduces us to another reason why nothing may have happened is because of outstanding edim. Now, this position of Rav Sheshes, as the Gemara really struggled with today, is complicated. Meaning what? Now, she drank the water and nothing happens, and it could very well be that there's an explanation. Well, I don't understand. How could the water prove anything? So we got involved in the discussion regarding deterioration, Nisnavda de Rebbe, immediate deterioration. Rebbe says that even if we're going to be tola, even if she has chuyos, but if she committed adultery, what's going to happen is that we're going to see deterioration immediately. And then there was the discussion in the Gemara, the Chachamim. Do they argue with Rebbe? Yes. To what degree do they argue with Rebbe? Unclear. Machlok is between Rav Sheshes and Rav Yosef in today's daf. To what degree they argue with Rebbe? That part was confusing. And then a lengthy discussion in today's daf, whether or not this position of Rav Sheshes is a defensible position. The Gemara spent the entire daf today defending this position of Rav Sheshes.